I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Sackers. I'm excited about CNN's new original series, The Movies. It gives new insights and behind-the-scenes glimpses into some of the most beloved and influential films of all time. The Movies premieres Sunday, July 7th, 9 p.m. only on CNN.
How many emergency exits in the West Wing?
8.
How many feet from the Oval Office to the PIOC elevator?
116.
From doors closing in the elevator, how long does it take to get to the PIOC?
4 minutes.
Security cameras? How many of audio?
Only the ones in the common areas.
Not bad.
Kids got it, huh?
Spark plug received.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to FilmSack, episode 426. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian, would sure suck to be in the back... Sorry, I screwed that up. Hey, Brian, sure would suck to be the backpack guys at the gate, Dunaway.
Oh, would it really? It looked like it was intentional.
Mm. Oh, hi.
Yeah, this is Mike. But hey, don't call me by my real name on an unsecured line. Refer to me by my nickname or my call sign, Big Mac. Right. Wow, that's a lot to take in, my friend. How about you back off just a little bit? All right. So, listen, I'm a bit disposed at the moment, so could you sum this up? You know, make it like I prefer my underwear. Yeah, that's right. Briefs.
Okay.
So how bad is it? The front fence has been breached. All right, there's a C-130 burning on the south lawn. Right, and a gunfight raging on the north. Yeah, that's bad. What's the good news? Morgan Freeman is now president. Well, I'm not seeing a problem here. Let's just cut our losses and build a new White House with Morgan Freeman as the president. Job done. Call it a day. Oh, they have the kid. All right. Let me finish up here. All right, the package is in the pool. I repeat, the package is in the pool. Operation Taco Drop is a success, and I am initiating Jiggle the Handle protocol. Uh-oh. Not good. This day went from bad to shit. I'm on my way.
Wow, that was quite a story. I really enjoyed that one. No. Nicely done. I have things to say about Morgan Freeman. We'll get to it.
Oh, I love it.
Also with us, Randy, I heard they paid Gerard Butler $300 for his role. Get it? Jordan.
Nah.
Aloha, Scott, Brian.
Randy.
And fellow citizens, it's me, your president, and I have a prepared speech here that I had to write myself because literally my entire staff has been killed only 18 months after I suffered a horrible, improbable tragedy. But it turns out that I'm a magical creature. I mean, just look at me. I was beaten like boiled potatoes and then shot in the stomach, and I'm fine now. While this Scottish guy who I hate for saving my life so much that I'm not even going to thank him in this speech, has a huge red gash on his face. But look at me. Nothing. I'm nothing. Fully healed. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to go now because apparently presidents aren't known for speaking very long. Okay, bye. Yeah.
Was a one of the crappier addresses, I thought, in movie presidential history. Wasn't great. With us finally, Brian, they had me at Robert Forrester Ibbett.
Hello and welcome to my 3-day seminar on single-handedly taking down a terrorist group. I'm going to be your seminar leader, Nick Spunt. On day one, we're going to be tackling the proper method of taking out henchmen one by one, armed only with the gun you brought in, despite the henchmen being armed to the teeth with better gear. Mr. McClain, those donuts are for everybody. Sit down. On day two, we're going to be covering the I'm not supposed to be here banter. You're not going to encounter this problem based on the job you currently have, people, but on the job you had before, or on the job you had in a different state, or in the military training you had, or the put down your hand, Steven Seagal from Under Siege. We'll have questions at the end. Oh, you're Steven Seagal from Under Siege 2 Dark Territory? Sorry, you guys all look the same to me. On day three, we'll have our open house, so you can bring a friend to the seminar. But keep in mind, that friend you bring is secretly working for the terrorist leader, so you'll have to come up with some clever way to kill them because they know all your tricks. And no, Mr. Snipes, I think you're wanting the compulsive gambling seminar down the hall. Nobody here cares what color you should always bet on at the roulette table. Thank you.
So, it's Die Hard in a White House.
Yeah, it's White White Hard, or Die White Die House. Die House.
We talked in the Ghost Ship episode about Fifth Element. I keep saying that for some reason. Mm. Event Horizon on a boat, Event Horizon, you know, on a plane. Mm-hmm. And then this is one of the many, many, many Die Hard in a blank things.
Yeah.
And I actually think it's up there, like in the list of Die Hard knockoffs. I like this enough that I want a lot more of it.
I completely agree. I totally dig it. Here's the problem. There's a sequel, and then there's another one being made that's almost done, I guess. Got Nick Nolte in it, who plays his dad, which is kind of exciting.
It better be done. It's coming out in a month.
Yeah, it better be done. I haven't seen either of them.
What's down this next time?
Angel has fallen,
whatever that is. I don't know.
Spark plug is now in his middle age.
right.
Well, I'm pretty sure that, okay, so this is maybe a spoiler, but I think in London Has Fallen, President Eckhart is dead. Something happens. So he's out. Oh,
President Asher. Yeah. What a name. They really thought long and hard about that name.
They did.
Oh, all the names in this film. Oh.
So now Morgan
Mike
Freeman.
Mike Banning. Is that Mike Banning?
Yes,
that
is Mike Banning.
So Mr. Now, Kang, if that is your name.
Morgan Freeman is now permanent president in this upcoming third one.
As it should be.
And he has to deal with a giant meteor that's coming. No, that's not true.
And I honestly, knowing that this is my first time watching this movie and knowing that there is a sequel, I had moments where I was sad when people died. I'm forgetting his name. Sexy Ross from Friends. Anybody? Sexy Ross from Friends?
Totally.
I call him Rugged Ross.
Wait a minute. You're talking about Dylan McDermott is who you're
Thank
talking
you.
About.
Thank you. Dylan McDermott.
Sexy Ross, yes.
Yes,
he
for
was,
sure.
He was totally sporting his Rossness in this one, though. I'm a Randy. Rugged Ross, for sure.
But when he died, didn't you feel something like, oh, I guess I don't have him again in another movie?
Right. A little. Like, I don't. He's gross to me. Every time he's in a movie, as soon as I see him, I go, well, he's bad. He did something bad. I know he did.
Is it because he put his wiener on the stove in season one of American Horror Story?
Partly. There's a part of that as part of it, sure. But most of it is just, he's just always, as soon as he shows up, I'm like, unless this is Boston Legal or whatever the hell that was called, this is him. He's going to be smarmy and terrible. Like, that's just his job now. So I can never get behind him too much because he's going to be a jackass.
His name was Forbes in this film. What could you expect from Forbes?
He's basically Ellis is what he was.
And top 500 businesses in the United States.
Yeah.
I want to ask for an instant correction. He was in The Practice, right?
Not Boston that's League. What I meant. Yeah, but the Boston Legal was a spinoff or whatever it was. They were connected somehow, though, weren't they? Are they in the same universe or something? I don't know what the deal is.
Yes, absolutely. And I remember they had like some little crossovers, like some people from one showed up on the later one.
But, yeah, and Boston Public, the school one, was also in the same universe. They were all kind of tied together. Huh. Yeah. It was like, what's that like? Not quite CSI, but sort of like that.
Those are all in the same universe, but it's like
it's like the Marvel shows.
Law and Order.
Let's make it like the Marvel shows.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's more like that because they inhabit the same universe, but they don't do the same jobs. Like it's not, whereas CSI, everyone's doing CSI shit in different cities. This thing is like, oh, this one's a school, but it's connected. And look, Dylan McDermott showed up one day at the school for one of the cases, and that's a cool crossover. And then they went away again, and now we're just back at school. And it's that kind of stuff. But none of that was very good. Well, I take that back. Boston Legal was good. The Practice was okay. Boston Public was kind of bad. The point is, Dylan McDermott, he shows up, and you go, well, shit, there's our bad guy, or at least here's our fumbling henchman. But he got to play two roles in this. He's Ellis, who may as well have said booby at one point.
Right.
In fact, he had that moment when he slapped, what's his name, on the arm, our terrorist master guy. So he slaps him on the arm, and I went, Ellis move. And then later, he does the Bill Clay thing because he meets him in the middle of the thing and goes, oh, hey, I just was hiding here. I didn't know you were here. I mean, they literally pull like chunks of Die Hard and like refurbish it and do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if this is regurgitation of Die Hard, that was one of the bigger chunks, right? It was like,
The bigger meteor chunks of Die Hard that got regurgitated.
Swallow that one down. But it's...
Oh, and... Yeah. And Dylan McDermott also is part of the most classic trope in the entire movie. I wonder if you guys caught it. Anybody? Dylan McDermott?
Last-minute redemption? Last minute redemption. He gets to redeem himself before he dies.
Well, that is a trope. He's got a bunch of tropes, but like the one that just
I know was, all your tricks trope or
I never told you his name is right there.
That was so stupid.
When it comes out, I'm like, oh my God, are they paying homage to some other movie? Yeah. Like it's so janky.
All other movies is what they're paying homage to. But there's a. Let's go back though. So, Olympus has fallen. We haven't actually said the name yet. It was probably obvious though.
Do you really need to say it?
It. Yeah, but it is for me. It is up there, and it also shares that rare rank of movie that came out the same year as another thing that was just like it. So, White House Down came out the same year, and White House Down
was there a London Is Down?
No, that's a sequel to this. So this thing has London Is Falling, which is
right. I think he's asking, like, was there also another movie time as
No,
I mean,
but
you gotta go along, right?
Here's why. Did you say Bend Down? That's awesome.
Big Bend Down.
That's good. but the other thing it shares is Morgan Freeman famously in Deep Impact. It's the same year as Armageddon, the two asteroid movies, and as the president in Deep Impact. Is also the president in this movie, which has this doppelganger movie.
Do we consider Deep Impact the knockoff of Armageddon or the other way around?
Yeah, no. Deep Impact is the knockoff of Armageddon.
I mean, they're not knockoffs. I'd say you're asking which one's better.
The superior film.
Yeah, the superior film is Armageddon.
I agree. And in this case, I think I've seen both this and White House Down. This is better than White House Down.
I want to take a little bit of a... as soon as we can, I want to take a little bit of a deep dive on Morgan Freeman in this movie.
All right.
Oh, who wouldn't want to take a deep dive on Morgan Freeman?
Will we have to go through a mile of shit as part of this deep dive?
No. We're just serve our time until they get tired of us.
Okay.
So for starters, the movie poster features Morgan Freeman front and center. And I get it, right? Like, he was probably expensive. That, you know, when you're actually making the movie, you want to make sure you use this great actor as much as you can. And then you got this movie poster. He is front and center. Mm-hmm. And it makes it seem like the movie has something to do with him. But really, he's not important. Like, he's not like if a movie has a critical path through the script, he's not really on it. Like, he intersects with the critical path at one point where he makes a decision that really affects the outcome of everything. Mm-hmm. And he has a moment of awesome where he yells at a chief and tells him that he's not going to speak.
Oh,
again,
he doesn't just do that. He yells at freaking Robert Forrester. You'd never do that and walk away alive back in the day. Man. Well,
you know, Mike Banning already told him to go F himself, so.
Yeah,
according to the dialogue.
He did, yeah. But he was on a phone, and if Robert Forrester's not in the room with you, you're okay. You got to just not do it while you're in his face, or you're going to die. That's how that works. But, yeah, no, I agree. I agree with you. He's not like, I don't know. I mean, he's the Speaker of the House. He's the only one left because the vice president, who looks a lot like Mike Pence, by the way, which freaked me out.
Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah, dude, and I both said that. Like, oh, my God, that doofus is Mike Pence, basically.
Yeah.
By the way, after I finished watching this last night, on July the 5th, that's right, perfect timing for this film, I went and my significant other was watching Designated Survivor, so I was trying so hard, so hard not to get polluted by that dialogue with this movie.
It's like, hard. They're very similar, right? Especially early in that.
And Designated Survivor is just a ripoff of this. Like,
kind of, right.
Again, this is my first time seeing Olympus Has Fallen, but now I know, oh, wow. Designated Survivor is just what happens on TV a couple years after this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow. Yeah. I haven't seen Designated Survivor yet.
Oh, it's on Netflix, and it's just got added,
didn't it?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, Kim burned through that and liked it. I thought it was good at first because it was exciting. It was this. It was like this exciting, like, oh my gosh, they bombed the president and all of Congress while they were speaking at the State of the Union address.
Right.
Everyone in there, including the vice president, Speaker of the House, all of Congress, decimated.
And Cersei was up her little place laughing.
Yeah, she was up there laughing with her green gas or whatever. No, that's not
right,
true.
Right.
Anyway, they blow this whole thing up, and now Kiefer Sutherland, the Secretary of Agriculture or whatever the hell he is in
education?
But he's in a different building. He's like not there.
Right.
And he's in his casual Fridays or whatever, and then suddenly all these Secret Service guys come in and inform him that he is now the only person who survived and he's the president.
I feel like the first couple of seasons were really good.
Yeah.
And I think it was NBC or ABC that had it and they released it. And I think Netflix or someone picked it up season three is like them trying to figure out how to put everything back together. Cause all the actresses and actors were not all on board. So there's a real shakeup in season three.
Kiefer's down.
Well, it seems like that's kind of keeping with the theme of the show, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, the idea of it is good. I don't know that it worked well in the long run for that show, but I love this kind of stuff. There's a series of novels whose names escape me. And so does the author. So this isn't going to help anybody try to track these down, but there's a character called Mitch Rapp, who is a, I don't know if the name's crazy, but it's basically a kind of a Born Identity kind of story. They're very popular books. I read two of them, and one of them is basically this story. And I was surprised to find out in some of the trivia that Gerard Butler was pitched for a while anyway to play Mitch Rapp.
An American assassin.
Yes, basically an American assassin or, you know, not an SS guy, but, you know, somebody who was like a top spy. You'd send him all to the hard places. He was raised in all the, you know, most rigorous military training and that sort of thing. And there is an entire book about the White House being under siege by terrorists and him single-handedly taking everybody out. And in fact, doing a whole scene behind the new walls in the old walls because the terrorists didn't know that that stuff had been replaced by.
Do you like it when the bad guy is super smart and he can just like, he's like really done his research because it kind of makes you feel like, dang it, Kang, you know stuff about our history.
You mean Fast and the Furious, Kang? Yeah, no, he'd read the Bible. I've read your Bible. Yeah. It says
I've read your Bible. And I know all your history, and I'm on you too.
Yeah, I drove in a fast car in Fast and the Furious. He said.
So I don't want to derail us too much, but in American Assassin the movie, they got a much younger person. They got the kid who plays Thomas in all the Maze Runner movies.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
and he looks too young, like way too young.
Yeah, I agree.
Like he looks 15. Counterterrorism teenager.
Yeah, you need. I don't like that. I never trust that. You need to get somebody who's a little bit seasoned, a little grizzled. Like, and Gerard Butler would have been fine, but he already has
this other thing going on.
Right, right.
And I just want to ask because this was my first time seeing this one. Is anybody else already seen London Has Fallen and is like ready for Angel Has Fallen?
I haven't seen London, so I don't know.
No,
Yeah,
it reviewed very it reviewed very poorly. This thing did okay. It was like, you know, people had a good time with it.
That's because we didn't know.
No. Well, and also London Has Fallen didn't have Antoine Fuqua.
Oh, directing, yeah. And Antoine Fuqua is the reason I think the movie is better than it should be. I also think he's great, and I've loved him since Replacement Killers. So as far as I'm concerned, that director is rad, and even when his movies are subpar, he's got an eye for action and tension that I like, and he's cool. Yeah. But the guy who did the second one is kind of a poopski. It's not great.
I mean, it does feel like a string of, like, basically they plugged in all these other movies that are just like it into a computer and say, okay, generate something brand new using all of these other pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I enjoyed it as much as the rest of you, but and this is my second viewing of it. Mm. But
I gotta say, I just sat here thinking, what was the downrange movie by Antoine Fuqua that Scott was talking about? Like, even when you said, even when his movie is below.
Oh, I would use, for example.
Oh, he made Magnificent Seven. That's right.
I liked Magnificent Seven, but again, it's a little frilly. It didn't have the hard hitting thing that I needed in it. His remake, and I also thought that his movification of
The Equalizer.
Equalizer was really good until the last 10 minutes. It really loses its way at the end. But this, man, it was cool early on. Yeah,
right. This Olympus Has Fallen. It is very cookie cutter, like you guys said, and it doesn't ever elevate the tension to what you would expect from an action thriller. Because we never even see Connor really get in any true danger, and he escapes early on. And the Kang never really, he's intimidating because of his size and his presence, but he never really fully makes you feel like, dirty. No,
yeah.
And those are the two big tropes that I don't think we get. We don't get, all right, Kang has got the kid and Gerard Butler's got to find a way to get the kid away from Kang. And then we don't get, a fight between Kang and Banning.
Banning. And we know how it's going to end because he already told us.
Yeah.
Bananing.
But it's super short, and it's like not a very, you know, we don't get the moment of like, oh my God, Gerard Butler's about to die.
Right.
He's pinned up against the wall. He's bleeding a little bit, and that blood disappears magically. Mm. And, and then he's out.
Yeah,
super quick.
That's true. I like the knife to the
head,
though.
Even Dylan McDermott, I'm like, wait, did he not also have special training? I had to go back. Right. I'm like, wait, let me go back to this character's progression, because Gerard Butler's character is like way better.
Well, he was better. He was better than all of them in the end, and I think that was the point. But you know, he fought back. He had karate moves and stuff.
Knew karate.
I appreciate that the movie started out off. The very first thing you see is an explanation for Gerard Butler being physically capable. Like that, that is important to me, and I always want that kind of like setup and backstory. And even though it was 2 hours long, it was 2 really good hours, and I could have gone for 15 more minutes of that.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I'm with Randy. I this is my second viewing also. So I'm with Ibbot in terms of how many times I've seen it. I think I saw it when it first hit DVD or something, or Blu-ray. And
yeah,
I mean, this is what, 2013, so it'd probably been 2014.
Right.
I saw it. And
this movie is best watched while you're doing something else, because it's got some really good action scenes in it. So it's like, something's happening. Let me focus in on it. Well, that was sweet. And then you can kind of like do your other thing for a little bit, because you don't really need to see.
I'd agree just to the aspect that your mind has seen enough of these movies that it can pretty much fill in the gaps between you know what's happening. I don't know if I'd go so far. I also, by the way, didn't realize, looking at Antoine Fuqua's history, he's another one of these guys that started out doing music videos, like a lot of music videos. For Toni Braxton and Shanice and Al B. Schur and Brian McKnight and
whatever that grouping of directors is that you would call who's the Transformers guy? I can't think of his name all of a sudden. What's wrong with me?
Michael Bay,
Antoine Fuqua, all those guys, they were all raised on the freaking early 90s music videos, and then they all went on to be directors.
Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Well, ultimate and music video maker.
Yeah.
It's not surprising because there was so much music video being made from like 85 to 95, and you had to have someone controlling it. You had to have someone behind the camera, right? Making it look great. And so lots and lots of people right out of film school were able to go get these jobs. And then some of them happened to be present the first time someone who would become famous later was making a music video. And it's like, sure. That just leads you to think, but movies are this huge project, right? It's like this massive thing. And you know, you hear a great director, you're only a great director when you have three great movies, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can be accidentally good for one movie and you can catch lightning in a bottle twice and still not be that great. But if you make a third great movie, you're a great director. You get to be that forever.
Well, if you want to look at the truest, most prolific, and is now the most respected of all these actors that came up at that time, or director, sorry, it's got to be David Fincher, because that dude did a ton of videos, everything from Foreigner to Loverboy to Madonna, The Outfield, like 80s, 90s, Roy Orbison, freaking Gypsy Kings, Madonna again, Paula Abdul, like Don Henley, everybody, and then suddenly makes movies, starting with, I think, pretty sure it was not seven, was seven? Alien 3. Sorry, Alien 3 was his first big thing. So Alien 3, 7 came way later. Alien 3 was 92, 95.
Alien 3, notwithstanding the rest. Keep going.
Then he did a bunch of Michael Jackson crap and then a bunch of other things. And then he does 7. And then from then on, that dude is your guy and wins like Oscars. And like he's now writing and he's doing all this stuff. Like that whole crew is kind of fascinating. We don't think of them the way we do Spielberg and Lucas and that group, you know, Scorsese and everybody. Right. They were all pals, you know, hanging around making movies. But there's a lot of similarities. It's like a different look, a different vibe, a very 90s thing happening. All the Bruckheimer movies, like they were front and center. And I think it's kind of awesome. Like it's a different thing.
And they all have they pull that style in to their movies, that music video style, like, quick cuts and really dramatic angles and lighting and things like that, that I think.
A lot of saturated color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 I agree. And it's fun to watch. Of course, probably the pinnacle for our pal Fuqua here is what? Training Day, probably?
Training Day for sure.
Yeah.
Although I haven't seen it. Maybe we watch it for Film Sack. I hear that Shooter is his third great film.
I've never seen Shooter.
So I kind of want to watch it with you guys.
I wouldn't mind. Let's see. He's part of some, he's doing some TV show now called The Resident. I don't know what that is.
Sounds medical.
That's not the one with Freddie Highmore, is it? No.
Oh, I did see Shooter and I enjoyed it.
Oh, you saw Shooter? Is that one of the who's in that? That's Warburton.
That's Mark Wahlberg.
Warburton.
Warburton.
Patrick Warburton as the Shooter. I don't remember.
Everybody
that.
Describes. Oh, The Good Doctor is the one with Freddie Highmore. The Resident is described as Grey's Anatomy rebuilt, or you know, basically,
or slightly, ER
50
rebuilt,
Shades
rebuilt.
Of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, he did Southpaw. That was good. That was really good. The boxing one with Jake Gyllenhaal. Y'all remember
by
that?
By the way,
that was good.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Shooter apparently led to a TV series. And
oh yeah.
Ryan Phillippe is the Marky Mark.
Oh,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a decent.
Well, when you can't get the Marky Mark,
that's got a nice review. Phillippe. What channel is this on? I haven't seen this. This looks like fun.
Sounds like something Showtimey. Is it Showtime?
I don't
Am
know.
I guessing right?
I'm looking it up here. It's
Showtimey.
It's currently showing. Let's see, company credentials. It doesn't.
Or USA Network. It's got to be Showtime or USA. I just can feel it. It just feels like one of those channels.
Oh, these guys!
Is USA even still a network anymore?
Oh yeah, of course it is. Yeah, they got the Mr. Robot on there. Are you kidding?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, those guys know what they're doing. They got stuff. They got shit to say. I can't find it, but it's reviewed really well. People really like this show.
Like I said, I like the movie too. It's just one of the better Marky Mark things. It's kind of one of those whole commando kind of things, though. Whereas if I remember it correctly, he's kind of like he's had some stuff and he's went through some things and they have to go find him up in the up in the mountains somewhere, and he's like, "What do you people want? Mm. I'm just trying to have a life with my daughter.
I'm out of the business. You guys go find somebody right. else," kind of thing.
So here's what Slash Film says are the best Die Hard knockoffs. Let's see if this is in here. Okay, so they claim that Die Hard 2 is one of the best Die Hard knockoffs. They also say Under Siege, which you mentioned. In fact, Brian mentioned a lot of these in his opening. Mm-hmm. Passenger 57, of course. Cliffhanger is on here. Cliffhanger.
Oh, nice.
Did we watch that one for FilmSec yet?
No.
No, but I want to. One of the most impactful. I don't know why, but I remember that movie so well for the opening.
Because that opening, yeah.
For your hero to be truly a tragic hero, that goes through some pretty deep stuff, and that was just
I never saw it, so I would see that. Watch that.
By the way, nailed it. USA Network, Shooter.
Oh, nice. I think I grabbed
on
that
Netflix.
There's nothing wrong with those guys. Speed, 1994. Speed.
Die Hard on a bus.
Die Hard on a bus. Sudden Death. We saw that. Jean-Claude Van Damme in his hockey movie, remember?
Die Hard in an Arena.
Yeah, Die Hard in an Arena. Here's another one, Executive Decision, Die Hard on a Plane again. So
yeah,
that's cool.
And you got to include Con Air in that discussion.
Right. Yeah. Is it even though it's not really Die Hard, isn't Air Force One Die Hard on a Plane, except it's the president?
It's in here.
Yeah.
It's on this
list. Die Hard on a Plane with the president.
Yeah, on this list. So is The Rock.
And
they
then,
say
and then there's also Die Hard on a Plane that has snakes on it.
Yeah, that's
oh,
true.
Yeah, mother effing.
They bring that up as well on here. Snakes on a Plane. There it is. Air Force One, they rate highly, and I would as well. I think Air Force One is probably of all the Die Hard ripoffs, it's probably my favorite. I think it's my favorite.
Yeah. And it was an excellent drive-in movie. I didn't think I would like a drive-in movie, but it was actually very good at the drive-in.
Yeah,
I have to go with Con Air, and it's just because of the style and the sound design and all of these big shots when they actually get out of the plane. Like that movie just entertains me.
Yeah, but
no
it's
way.
Not really Die Hard.
Is it Die Hard though?
It's not
one man against.
Man taking out guys one by one. A group basically, it's one man against a group. He has to take them out one by one until he gets to the big boss.
He has
trying to hide his secret.
The hero has to be former something, former special forces, former cop, whatever. And that's Nick Cage and Connor.
Mm-hmm. I guess you're right. Yeah. There's
and he's trying to hide his identity so he can protect his loved ones.
You
right?
just
that's
don't. What you don't have in that one is a central villain. I know that it's supposed to be Malkovich, and I know that, you know, he's like the hardest of the hard guys from prison, but it's just a bunch of prisoners, and it just works out that he's left.
It's less, it's less of the mini boss, big boss. It is like a bunch of big bosses.
That's
a raid.
Yeah, to me,
it kind of is. Yeah.
It's just trash. You got to clear all that trash. But I really do feel like if you're really going to compare, you got to go with movies where one maniacal psychopath with a bunch of dudes sneak into a thing they're not supposed to be able to get into, like really inexplicable stuff, like the White House or like the president's plane.
This is a pretty good Die Hard knockoff. I mean,
it's the great Die Hard knockoff. Totally what it is.
Can we reset a little bit and just talk about how the movie depicts it all going down?
Let's do it.
My gosh, this AC-130 that's loaded to the teeth flying over Washington DC was incredible. That whole that sequence is just it's like nothing else. I was thinking, like, what's the movie that they're just ripping off? I couldn't think of anything. It's all its own.
Only time I ever felt more invaded was in like Red Dawn. I mean, it felt like, wow, how did we have such a gaping hole in our border that this happened?
Well, I felt more invaded by 9/11 personally, but yes, Red Dawn.
Well, in a movie, Scott.
Yeah. A wall wouldn't have prevented that plane from coming over. I'm just saying.
That's true.
Well, I know, but I mean, that's, you know, real life. It was, you know, a commercial plane, you know, really didn't know what's going on. But here we're talking about a military plane.
I meant the plane in
right.
House,
right.
Yeah. But in the Olympus movie, in the movie Olympus Has Fallen, that plane is an American plane.
That's been stolen by visual
identification. But is it really? Well, I mean, witness, you know, flight plan being there, would that not trigger something? I don't know.
Saying, you know, this is not, you're not supposed to be here. Land or get
a little late.
Yeah, they were a little late. They should have fired sooner than they did. but whatever.
But they had everything planned out, like, okay, let's flick on the tracers to get the heat-seeking missiles away. All right, now we got this, and now we got this. And
those look cool, though, those tracers.
Oh, totally.
Those are rad. Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. A lot of the other later movie effects were not as good. There were some problems. When they
when Butler fell through the floor after the helicopter explosion, that was bad.
You could tell that they actually shot him falling into, like, you know, a big styrofoam cushion that was covered in green.
Yeah.
And then they just painted over everything else. But, like, it looked very, very much like he fell into a video game. Oh, I love that.
I mean, it's a thing of its type, not so much of its time. I think 2013, which is only, what, 5 years ago, whatever it is, six, five? We were better at this then. They just didn't seem to have the budget or something. I don't know what was going on.
Or just not the, it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's just
all that outdoor stuff with the blowing up the helicopters, but, and all that stuff looked kind of bad.
I will give them props for allowing for stringing me along. Just like I don't criticize horror movies too much because teenagers are stupid in horror movies intentionally so that you can go, and hear the same thing. It's just like, oh, I can't believe you're so unprepared. And what moron greenlit, let's put a bomb on our nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
And why would you not have a failsafe where it's like, well, if it's still in the silo, don't explode. Yeah. I mean, how hard would that be to write in?
That Cerberus thing is a terrible idea. Like, that is just a bad concept. I'm not saying poorly portrayed in the movie. I think it's fine. But if that was an actual government decision to say, hey, we're going to put bombs on our bombs, and we're going to give three people passwords, and boom.
Yeah, the idea of putting a bomb on a bomb is not, I guess, so terrible, but allowing it to explode inside the silo, that would just be moronic. Okay,
but you're just really, like, you're getting far afield if you're worried about, well, how would the military actually be? And wait, Korean politics has never worked like that. Like, don't. Right. It's like, you gotta leave that behind if you're gonna like this movie.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. It's
all artistic license all the time.
Yeah, 100%. And the fact that they were, you know, the fact that it was Korea and that one guy looked like Mike Pence was cracking me up, because, you know, we got a lot of modern day North Korea stuff going on. And
Phil Austin, you're talking about the vice president, right?
Yeah.
That guy makes the best "what am I doing here" face I've ever seen.
Yeah, he really does. Totally. He's like, I should have stayed a congressman in Iowa. Why am I here? This is the worst. And
his death is so like brushed over. It's like he pops up in the background of a big screen with Morgan Freeman in the war room, and he's like just standing there looking like, why me? And then right in the back of the head.
Right in the head.
If you're gonna really dig into artistic license on Cerebrus, by the way. Cerberus. Okay, whatever.
I had a Morgan Freeman.
Cerebro.
If you're gonna really dig into that, the brute forcing the third password is the biggest piece of nonsense, because like you realize, they never needed it in the first place, but then you have to stop and go, how the hell did they get it then? Like, you know what I mean? It's a really clever little plot, right, to get the first two codes, but it's just ridiculous that in a couple of hours.
You shouldn't be able to figure out a password by going, like, character by character, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, ABC. Okay, now we move on to the next one. That's not how passwords work.
Yeah, definitely a lockout mechanism on the Cerberus program.
Yeah.
But if you type that in too many times. But I think the problem I had the most problem with that whole setup was how it kept putting Kang on pause. So he's one of those cartoon bad guys where it's like he's only, you know, in your mind when he's actually doing something. Otherwise, you're like, what was he doing for like 3 hours while we were doing everything else? Shouldn't he have been working on getting those passwords? Why is he like every 3 hours going, well, now it's time to harass the hostages?
I never really thought of it, but this is kind of like combining the plot of a villain with porn, right?
Right.
Like, think
out of
about
sight,
it.
Out of mind.
You know what? Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, the villain is only doing porny things when you're looking right. at him in his
exactly.
room.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I didn't really make the comparison. By the way, the Cerberus thing, they said Cerberus, so I don't know if they got it right or not. But
Did Morgan Freeman say it? Because he always says stuff the best.
He says, "This is the Cerberus."
The aardvark is Cerberus, but this thing is Cerberus.
Yeah, yeah. But it just now hit me, so I'm embarrassed, but I'm going to go ahead and admit this. It just hit me why it's called that. Cerberus, or however you say it, has three heads. It didn't occur to me about the three passwords and three head comparison yeah. until
and then
right
they
this
refer side. To the Hydra, and there's all kinds of references.
Yeah, I didn't get it. It didn't hit. I was being dumb, I guess.
Calling that defense system Hydra was awesome. I was like, yeah, oh, yeah. I'll bet it's going to be able to shoot, you know, in seven ways at the same time. And yeah. sure yep. enough, there it goes.
It mm-hmm. did. But what killed me though, I couldn't figure out. I'm like, okay, so did they bring that with them, or was it already there? And if it was already there, surely the Hydra elevator would go a little faster because that gun is a super fasty shooty.
Yeah.
But the getting it to the roof is like, oh.
That stuff yeah, was so definitely park your brain. That was park your brain at the door stuff for sure. That whole bit.
But also the explanation was super fast, and that was that we're to believe that it was an experimental project of defense that mm-hmm. had stalled. So someone mostly built it and then didn't complete it. And then these terrorists come along and complete it and turn it to their own purposes.
Right,
right. Right. They had a lot of, what's with all these Korean service guys going up to the roof? I don't know. It's just some deal they got going. Like that stuff. You don't want to think too far back on how they got in there. But
right.
The immediate stuff, like how they get in, is actually kind of fun. Like, because you realize, yeah. oh, he yeah. really, his translator had to ingratiate himself to work up the ranks to become the you know, the ambassador of South Korea's guy. That's not something you do overnight. Like, I like that kind of world building. That's fun.
It's a long con to get yeah. revenge on the fact that your mom stepped on an American landmine.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been so much easier? This movie should have been called "We Made Things Way More Difficult Than Needed to Be." First of all, kidnapping the president inside the White House. Okay. It seemed like there'd be a lot easier way to get those people together and get access other than that. But also, why wouldn't you just like kidnap the real guy before they went into this meeting? Because it seems silly to work your way up through the ranks when you could just.
Who's the real guy?
Yeah, I don't know. Mean real guy.
The real guy in this case was Kang. Kang actually being authentic. Why wouldn't he just sit back and let somebody else have that position? And then like, you know, 5 minutes before they arrive to the White House, you know, attack the thing and take it and pose as the guy.
I'll tell you why, because that guy, as portrayed and played by Rick Yoon, is a badass, right. and you have to show him all
he
the time.
He is awesome.
He is cool.
I just want to say, like, I spent the whole movie looking every time Rick Yoon was on the screen, and I'm like, where have I seen this guy before? Because he seems so familiar. When I looked him up, I'm like, I don't really feel like I've seen him. I know I've seen these things that he's in, but I don't feel like I've ever really stopped and went, oh, that guy, that Rick Yoon guy. I'm going to remember him.
He's in that Ninja Assassin movie. He's in Die Another Day. So in Die Another Day, the reason I remember him, this is the James Bond thing with the still had the what's his beak in it before he left, Pierce Brosnan. In that movie, he's an North Korean terrorist guy again. But what makes him unique is something that was full of diamonds exploded and lodged a bunch of diamonds in his face. So yeah. in that movie,
now he's diamond face.
He's diamond face.
I know. I don't know why they didn't call that diamond face.
It was such a great throwback to old Bond, though. That's why I loved it.
Yeah.
And it was Rick, so because that movie kind of sucked. It wasn't a very good James Bond movie. But his thing with the diamonds in his face was like, this is so close to an old school Bond villain. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why I know him.
Rick Yoon could totally be like a Korean or Asian 007. He's just got this classy look to him. But he was born in Washington.
Yeah, he's born in the town. Columbia. He's born in the town he's attacking, which I love. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine there'd be a movie about Arvada, Colorado, where Arvada's being attacked, Brian, and you were born there, but now you're the bad guy that's trying to attack it. That's an awesome idea.
I'm the actual guy attacking Arvada.
Yeah. Isn't that great? I think that's so cool. There's something about that that gets me going. Okay, a couple of bits of trivia that are pretty funny. Is it Yoon A or Yoon? I say Yoon.
I say Yoon.
His name is Rick Yoon A.
Rick Yoon A. All right. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. He's the Unabomber.
He's the Unabomber. Very well done. Whoever else said. Good job.
Aww.
What, too soon?
Too soon for our...
I was making fun of that joke by making it diminutive. It's a cute little joke.
Okay, nice. Fair enough. The typeface used for the word Olympus on the posters is the exact font that Olympus, the camera manufacturer, uses for all their cameras.
Really? I thought I knew that font face looked familiar. That is hilarious.
Yep. Pretty great. Are they still around?
That's kind of funny.
I don't know if they're still around. Are they still doing things, Olympus?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
I'm sure they're doing stuff.
I feel like they were...
You know what?
Yeah. I feel like something happened there, like something went bad. Maybe not. Maybe they're all right.
You know, Nikon
swallowed him up.
Yeah.
Right. Like, no, it was perfectly cast and was totally charming, but stayed just a little too short a time. That's Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd. Mm-hmm. Was, sure. Yeah,
this is her, by the way, fourth film with Morgan Freeman, even though they weren't in a scene together. But they
right.
were
a lot of these actors were not in scenes together. It was actually kind of odd when I kept thinking about it. I'm like, wow, those characters never actually are seen on screen. Like, I wanted to see more of what Mike Banning thought of Speaker Trumbull. Morgan Freeman, because he had told him to F off at some point, apparently. So
yeah, and I just knew in the final scene, like with this big speech and everything, that we were going to see Melissa Leo front and center.
Yeah,
because right. She survives.
Yeah, she lives.
But
yeah.
No.
Dragged out in her undies.
She survived, but I think she took some time off. I think she was like, you know,
absolutely.
She had a rough time down there. She's very good. She's hard.
Oh yeah. Yeah. When she spits blood at Kang and says F you, I was like standing up with a fist.
Yeah. Like yeah. So there's a reason that you put her in charge of the entire defense system. She's kind of awesome. But anyway, I was going to give you these names of these movies they've been together. So this is kind of dumb trivia, but Morgan Freeman and Ashley Judd have been in this, Kiss the Girls, High Crimes, Dolphin Tale, and Dolphin Tale 2. I don't know what those are.
Kiss the Girls is such a good fun film.
Oh yeah, it's real fun. It's about a science. Yeah. Isn't that supposed to be?
It's based on a James Patterson. It's one of the Alex Cross.
Alex Cross, yeah. The good ones, not those bad ones.
Not the more recent. He barely did anything to be involved with those books.
Yeah. Hey, the other connection to Die Hard I found. I forgot all about this, but then looked it up and I was right. Antoine Fuqua directed, is it Rising Sun? Anyway, the Bruce Willis movie called Land of the Shit. What is it?
Land of the Shit. Great movie.
Something Burning Sun, some kind of sun. Hold on, I'm going to find it because it's going to annoy me.
Okay.
It's called...
Tears of the Sun.
So he's actually directed straight up Bruce Willis. And so that's cool. And then the other thing I found, which I thought was pretty great, was this. One trailer used in television ads included emergency alert system tones. They are used to alert television viewers about real-life emergencies. Using them outside of emergency broadcasts or tests violates the law. In 2014, the FCC fined ESPN, Viacom, and NBC Universal $1.93 million for broadcasting emergency alert tones in a non-emergency broadcast. So that's significant.
Code 999. Code 999.
Yep. You don't want to do that. Well, what are those tones? Mm-hmm. Should we do them now? Do we get in trouble if we do it?
Yeah, the perfect. Do it.
All right.
No, because we're coming to people's headsets, not their TVs.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to freak them out.
And we're not in real time.
No.
We are not a broadcast.
Nor do we have the technology right now to actually play those tones. I have no way of doing it. Yeah.
It makes you wonder, though. Like, we're recording this the day after a massive earthquake in California and, you know, the day after an earthquake before that. And the first thing you see on TV, like, everybody goes and turns on TV. And the first thing you see on the crawl on the bottom of the screen and on your news station is, do not call 911. Like, that is the first thing they tell you. Mm-hmm. Do not call 911 unless you have a major emergency. And... I got, what if a movie trailer caused people to, you know, fill up the 911 lines?
Yeah.
Right.
That'd be nuts. Mm-hmm. By the way,
like War of the Worlds with
Orson
Welles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All those dumb people in the 30s. What the hell were they thinking? Dummies. Who hears something on the radio and goes, ooh.
Hey, I don't judge because, you know, That was like clickbait for the radio era. So, I mean,
totally was, dude.
I probably been clicking all along that myself.
It was.
Click.
Freaking QAnon conspiracy in 1932 or whatever the hell it was. So check this out. I'm going to make another comparison to Die Hard. The detonators in Die Hard are the Cerberus codes in this movie. That's what those are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. No. The Cerberus codes are the fail safes for the safe that the guy is trying to break into in the basement.
Yeah, it's all about money, right? Money.
Right, that's exactly. A good point.
I kept waiting for this to be all about money too, because it just didn't seem well motivated enough that his mom got killed by an American landmine.
It's a pretty big revenge plot for just his mom getting killed by American landmine.
Yeah. And his dad
check
got
out
killed
the landmine company.
Right. His dad got killed by the North Koreans where he was fleeing from. So right. I'm like, it seemed like a little bit of misdirection there.
I mean, his big motive, right, was to get the U.S. to pull out of the entire region. Mm-hmm. And he got that. So like you could kind of see. It made sense. You know what I mean? Like, his goal was actually reached at least temporarily, which is insane, by the way. The U.S. has submarines. We're not going to, you're not going to get them out of there, you know?
No, we're everywhere. Dude. You're not going
to
get us out.
Not to mention, I'm like, if this really happened, it'd be like, so long, Mr. President. We're building a new White House.
That's another thing. The movie really does skirt up against the value of a human life question.
Sure.
And I genuinely don't believe that a lot of human lives would be thrown into the, you know, into the garbage disposal to save a president. A president's a person.
Certainly not the current one.
No.
Right. But you know what I'm saying?
Oh, too bad.
I don't know. I don't think the U.S. government really values any individual that much. Like, Secret Service are willing to give their lives, but 100 right. Secret Service, 1,000 Secret Service, probably not.
Probably
just let them die.
Or isn't that the strength of our government that, you know, we can kind of slip slide around for leadership?
Yeah, that's the whole idea is we have redundancy. Yeah. You get down to Kiefer Sutherland if you have to, you know, like exactly. you've got ways around that. But I totally agree. Like this idea that it's like holy blood or, you know, kind of king monarchy kind of thinking is stupid and doesn't really hold water.
We can allow, like, all right, can save the president to save another life. Well, okay. Save the president and let 11 people die. Yeah, maybe that's the cutoff.
Yeah. But right. Maybe the cutoff is also when you bring a battalion of 15 dudes, 3 or 4 Black Hawk helicopters, like half the army's there to do it and they all get killed. Yeah, it's time to just level the thing and say we're good.
Okay,
we'll hire a new one.
I want to make it clear. I wasn't talking about the military. The military, I will bet you every person in the army, if you ask them, would you give your life for the president? They would say yes, and that'll just go all the way up, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you might get
a higher totally percentage understand. Depending on who's president. But yeah, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
But I'm saying all of the people around the White House, mm-hmm. like there's a point where you're just like, you know what? We're just going to nuke the White House and end this. Like we'll just stop it. You know, like,
I mean, cause they're going to destroy the whole country otherwise. Yeah.
But the Cerberus thing, the other thing is the Cerberus thing had to be, I mean, that's your other little, I don't know, your little plot device you had to fix. And the only way to fix it was in the bunker. That's the only control station. So if you're going to stop Cerberus, you got to get down in there. So that's your other reason for, you know.
Right. And they were just all sitting on their hands going like, oh, no, they're going to get the codes. What should we do? There's nothing to do. I guess we just have to sit around until they blow us up. Okay.
Well, if interesting points about movies like that interest you, I'm excited because CNN is doing something really cool this summer. I want to talk to you guys about it real quick here. CNN The Movies. Each week they're going to focus on a specific decade of film. So imagine focusing on the 70s or the 80s, whatever. And each episode is 2 hours in length, covers a specific decade, except for the early years. I'm going to kind of put that, closer together. But if you want to really focus in on a decade, which is what I like to do with my movies, then this is the way to do it. Brand new interviews will feature your favorite actors, actresses, directors, and feature additional insight from prominent critics and historians about those movies, about that decade, about those genres, that sort of thing. And you can hear behind-the-scenes stories never heard anywhere else. It's being produced by Tom Hanks and Gary Goetzman in association with HBO. It's a pretty cool project, and I am very, very excited about this. So make sure you check out the movies premiering July 7th at 9 p.m. only on CNN. That's CNN, you know, the cable news network. Go check them out. And that's, again, July 7th, 9 p.m. And it's really, really cool. So I can't wait for this. I think we as film sackers are going to love this, and I think you as fans would love it as well. I love this kind of stuff. So more, please. Again, that is The Movies by CNN, premiering July 7th at 9 p.m. only on CNN. All right, back to plot holes, I think we were saying.
Yeah. Another plot hole that bugged me, and I tried really, really hard to not think about it, is the coming and going from the bunker. Kang left that bunker so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, we can't save the president because the president's in the bunker and those doors are blah, 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 and the cave and blah. No, Kang is coming and going all the time. Just shoot him when he comes out the door and then you're done. End of movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't think Kang is even a Korean last name.
I don't think any of these names are real last or first names.
Oh, I take it back. I'm wrong. It's a Korean surname. I was wrong. Never mind.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, all these names felt very super, you know, just super simplified.
Yes, or super like, villain, like just Kang. Yeah. Come in here, Kang. And well, yeah, it's just
Kang, Forbes, Connor, Banning. I mean, just.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, exactly. It's
pretty stereotypical.
Your terrorist and hero names book, like your baby names book.
Yeah. I ain't got time to be making up good names.
I will say this, though. Gerard Butler, as portraying this character, had real good stabs. His stabbing the way he would stab people.
Was good.
Oh, it was satisfying.
Was on point.
Just.
Didn't even mean to do that.
Nice job.
But when didn't
hear
though.
He got McDermott with a quick one. He got that other guy with like 12 of them. He's just
absolutely.
Badass.
And the only thing that bothered me about that was when I started rerunning the film through my head and going, the president's wife didn't have to die. The first lady didn't have to die. He's all like in there negotiating with the president in the back seat going, come on, sir. We got to go. We got to go. And then at last second, it says, okay, knife cut, and pulls him out. I'm like, if he had just jumped in there and knife cut, get out.
Yeah. You're right. But so we've talked about all these things that are kind of plot holes. I will say there's a couple of things I think were brilliant. And I truly mean this in terms of the way it was written. So here they are.
Yeah, but
one is the... I mean, it's all contrived and built in such a way that it works this way, but the accident on the bridge coming home from Camp David is an impossible puzzle. It's an impossible solution. Mm. And if the only solution is the president lives, his wife and those two men in the front die, there was no other option. It was that or everyone dies. And so
they should have put more people on the trunk. Like, all right, give me everybody on the trunk to hold this thing down.
Right.
We had agents standing around going, I don't know. What do you want to do? Let's look around the bridge.
You're not wrong. There's ways they could have solved it. But my point is, like, in the moment, go ahead.
I just want to say to Evan, you've heard the specs on those presidential limos, right? Like that the limo weighs like 14,000 pounds.
Oh,
or something.
Really? No.
Yeah, they're
it's all.
You could put a whole battalion of men on the back and it wouldn't change that.
Yeah, it was full of the thickest of bullet resistant everything. So those things are really heavy. But anyway, beside all of that, I liked that because it just put him in a position where he just had no choice. He had to do the thing he did. And then that sets up a really interesting, like, well, the president even knows he kind of had to do that, but this is just going to make it hard. He doesn't want to see him anymore. It's going to just remind him of his wife. They were friends before, like all of these awful things. And then later, something else happens like that. And I'm trying to remember what it was. It was the, maybe the Cerberus thing was trying to do this. I actually had two examples of this. Now I can't think of the other one, but I really liked that opener thing. I thought that was strong.
I thought that was probably one of the stronger things. I did like the fact that the president had to distance himself without being a total dick. He still let, you know, Gerard Butler's character Banning kind of do his thing, and Banning never broke. He didn't become like some alcoholic. Now he was not a good, you know,
good husband,
not a great husband, but he wasn't that to begin with. So, I liked that they didn't tear him down for him to have to crawl back. I kind of like that.
They just sort of moved him off to the side. Because he still served with, you know, that was an honorable thing. It just had really bad consequences.
I mean, and what a great job. It's like this, one of the things this movie did was it very, very casually showed people's titles and names in the film. You know, it would pop up and it would show, you know, this is the secretary. This is so-and-so. And as well, they also did a lot of time stamping. So they would say, oh, this is where they're at during this time. And I couldn't help but to notice that Gerard Butler didn't cruise into work till about 10:15.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah. He didn't
care. What kind of job is that?
Well, he's just sitting by a computer. He had shifts. He's sitting by a computer.
There's no shift that starts at 10:15. Maybe, you know.
Most of my coworkers come into work just after 10.
Well, he's not working
in California. Come on.
Yeah.
This is a government job.
Yeah. Gamers don't come in on time. There's no way that's even possible. But no, like, yeah, that's the other thing is you guys stay till midnight, though, right? Like, you come in at 10, but no one ever goes home.
Can confirm.
He came in. He got to work around 10:15 casually, and then he got off around 7-ish. Yeah. Other people were leaving. He was still kind of hanging out.
Yeah. I knew he was going to be great, though, when he popped that sniper in the head with a handgun and the snipers.
That was great.
Yeah.
I did like that.
That's pretty good. Like, the movie needed to be rated R. I'm glad it was. It needed to have some edge stuff and some violence in it. If it didn't have that, it would have been a really stupid PG-13 movie.
It was really R-rated, too. Yeah. Like, once they got into R-rated territory, Fook was like, I'm going to show you a guy getting stabbed in the jaw. Mm-hmm. And they did. They showed it to you.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I like a good jaw stabbing. There's a scene in John Wick 3, by the way, that if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you should. But there's a scene where they're fighting in like the hallway of like an old weapons thing where it's all ancient knives behind glass, like really old knives and different kinds of knives and stuff all hidden behind glass. And so him and his assassins are constantly breaking glass, trying to grab new knives and throw them at each other. And it is one of the best action scenes in the history of the medium. You have to see it to believe it.
Yeah. And this movie kind of had a little bit of that idea, too. I mean, John Wick, I think, is after this. But it kind of had that, let's just have a glory of just, let's just kill one guy after the next. I'm just going to walk straight through here. I'm just going to kill one guy after the next. The only difference is, in this film, is kind of based on something that I feel like I could understand the job of. Like, I feel like I could understand Gerard Butler's job and what he would have to do, whereas John Wick is total fantasy. I have no idea what John Wick is capable of, what are the rules, wherever the rules of the movie are.
John Wick
doesn't exist.
John Wick 1 was a year later, by the way, which seems crazy.
Right.
It feels like they were they feel like a decade later, but it was a...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Who did it better? Keanu Reeves, that's who.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I have a feeling Olympus Has Fallen is going to age really badly, and John Wick feels very timeless to me.
Oh, yeah. No, John Wick will last a long, long time. I feel like 3 got a little overindulgent, but I think they, you know, if they finish it out with 4 in 2021, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be a good, solid thing that we'll all look at in 30 years and go, that's still good.
It'll be called John Wick Has Fallen, right?
I don't know. He fell pretty hard in 3, so I don't know. I don't know how anyone survived.
I'm thinking John Wick Has Fallen.
the literal fall of John Wick should have been the title of that movie. All right, what else? This movie telegraphed a lot of stuff I wrote. SS guys never looked trustworthy, even though most of them turned out to be honorable dudes. What did I write here? Oh, I wrote, why not just, okay, when they were hiding in the walls and they knew they were in the walls, just start shooting at the walls.
Yeah, don't tiptoe towards the walls. As much as I've complained about this movie a lot, but I really did enjoy this movie. It was a lot of fun, a lot of good rides. I think I didn't really question it until like after things had happened lots of times, or if things were moving kind of slow, too much time for me to ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good way to do, if you're going to do an action movie that has a lot of, suspend your disbelief. Keep it going. Don't give people a pause to make them think about stuff.
You guys got the Batman connection, right? You got Morgan Freeman as
Lucius.
Lucius, and then you got your Aaron Eckhart, Two-Face, Harvey Dent over there.
Yeah.
I will say this, and I'm hesitant to say it because I like him normally, and I think he's a pretty good actor, and he's got a sweet Utah connection and all this other stuff. So I think highly of Aaron Eckhart, but I don't think he's good in this movie. I think he's kind of bad.
Well,
lots of overacting, a lot of dumb.
Super broody, or
like
he has to play a really broody role.
I don't know. Something about it is over the top. His speech at the end is the most uninspiring garbage speech ever. It's just bad. I don't know.
Is it really though? Is it?
It's bad.
I couldn't quite figure out. It both seem presidential, and both not at the same time. I think Bill Pullman did it better.
Yeah. The speech Bill Pullman gave was a better speech. But I
think he also lost his wife, right?
Yes. In the city where Will Smith found her by accident. Right. Remember that? Or no, she died later of her injuries. Yeah.
And his speech, even though it was stupid, was delivered with such bravado that it's just like, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. At least had. And this one felt like it was mostly ADR. Oh, speaking of which, can I share some with you guys? This is pretty cool. So yeah. My buddy Liam O'Brien of voice actor fame, and if you played video games in the last decade, you've played a game with him in it. I guarantee it. Everything from Call of Duty to World of Warcraft, he's in everything. And he's part of Critical Role now, which is really a big fame thing for those guys. But he did ADR work for this, and I noticed it because I heard it and I went, "That sounds like Liam." So I stopped, captured the audio, texted him, and said, "Dude, is this you?" And he says, "Yep, I forgot I even did that. That was like 2012." So here it is. I'm just going to play this little tiny bit. This is Liam O'Brien doing ADR work in Olympus Has Fallen.
Sir, there's movement in front of the White House.
It's Illidan, dude. Illidan Storm Rage. Yeah, crazy. Wow. Anyway, just a little something. A little side note. All right.
And he is, by the way, not in the IMDb full cast and credits.
No, he is not. ADR guys never get that stuff. He told me.
Uncredited role.
I asked him about that. He says, "Oh, yeah, you never. We're the bottom of the low. They don't ever put our names in there for that stuff." Mm-hmm. They get paid, but it's not like, you know, they don't get royalties or any of that. It's just like
no SAG card for that business.
No. And that was just some random soldier that was replying to whoever. So it was no big deal. But anyway, I thought it was cool because, hey, it's Liam. Check that out.
Can you play it again real quick?
I can. Here it is.
Sir, there's movement in front of the White House.
There's movement in front of the White House.
Sounds like Illidan is on the call.
Yeah. It is. 10,000. I've been looking at the White House for 10,000 years, he should have said. All right. Clips? You guys want clips?
Oh, clips. Yeah. Please tell me you got the passcode reading off. I hope so. I hope.
I don't remember. I might have. Let's find out. Here's a shaved head idea. I don't know what this is.
Well, let's talk about that shaved head idea.
Oh, he's getting all pervy in the car. I forgot about that, yeah. Shave that head. All right,
you were listening.
Do you want ice cream?
I got 3 minutes. Let's run down to the kitchen and get some ice cream.
Yeah.
Hmm? Chocolate chip or Rocky Road?
I'm going to have Rocky Road before you eat it all like you did last time.
I don't remember it that way.
Yeah, you did.
Dad-son banter.
Yeah, if they would have just stopped arguing, they could have gotten the ice cream and been back by the time.
Right?
They
how much Rocky Road is in the White House? I just can't imagine that you could eat all of it. I just have like this unreasonable amount in my mind. I suppose
you've just got like a special ice cream freezer that's full of.
Yeah, I mean, at least more than the president could eat. I mean,
I don't know. Do they have all the flavors you'd ever want at the White House?
I would assume there's a Baskin Robbins or something in there, right?
There's a bowling alley. There might as well be a Baskin Robbins.
I love that idea.
It's funny because it makes you think of like somebody has to go grocery shopping for the president.
Right.
Yeah.
You think the gallon's going to cut it? No, last time he ate the whole darn thing. All right.
That's hilarious. I hadn't thought of it that way. All right. Here's Red talking.
Minister Lee is going to want you to issue a joint statement, Mr. President. Threatening military action to get the North Koreans to stand down from the border and stop their missile tests, which I think we should give them.
The male penguin keeps the egg.
And if you disagree, I'll have your job by the end of this movie.
Now give me a coffee with 11 sugars and 14 cups of cream in it, please.
Not in no styrofoam shit. Bring me a real cup.
That's right, yeah.
All right, here's the say the name motion, part of the movie. Here you go.
Oh, yeah.
Olympus has fallen. Olympus has fallen. Olympus has fallen.
Three times. If now Candyman comes out.
That up with
would it be funny if they had put in White House Down?
Oh, yeah.
That would have been great, right? Just to F with those other guys with the other movie. I think you could, if you say Olympus has fallen three times, Candyman comes out, Tony Todd, and he starts just shooting bees at people. So you got to be careful.
Oh, I think a Greek god comes out of that.
That makes sense.
Oh,
say Olympus has fallen.
300 of them. All right, let's see. Maybe. Close your eyes, and it's Dolph Lundgren. All right, so here's the clip. You're going to hear it like I hear it. This sounds like Dolph Lundgren.
I'm working for justice.
It sounds like Dolph Lundgren to me. Like he's trying to do an English English accent.
I'm sorry, I was so primed for a Rocky IV Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, no accent. I should have said that. It's more like the what did he say in Johnny Mnemonic? He yelled something.
Oh, hold sinners!
That whole thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
It's a bit like that.
I'm working for justice.
I'm working for justice. I don't know. That guy needs an accent.
Can you just play that one more time for me?
Yeah, here you go.
I'm working for justice.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have Keanu Reeves there. I'm hearing Keanu Reeves.
Let me try it again.
I'm working for justice.
Okay, now I can hear it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I can totally hear Keanu.
You are right. Something about needing to know.
Classified? Really? Well, right now I think I have the proverbial need to know.
He's pretty good at hiding a Scottish accent, isn't he? He's pretty good at it.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, it's impressive.
I mean, yes, but also...
Do you hear it come out?
I don't know.
I never hear it come out. Maybe I'm just not hearing it.
He's like way better than Ewan McGregor, but I there were moments where I was like, oh, this guy wasn't born in the United States.
I think the Scots have a harder time. The English seem to be able to do us really good, but the Scottish have a hard time for some reason. I don't know why. Okay. When you leave the... Oh, I wrote, when you leave the auto parts store.
Spark plug received.
All right, that's dumb.
Yeah, I didn't understand the designation sometimes. It was just odd. I'm like,
spark
what?
Plug.
Spark plug. Is he because he's sparky?
Because he's a kid. I don't know.
Is he a kid?
Just say
when, and how many meetings must they have a week about, okay, we've decided to change all the names for everybody. This week is spark plug and teapot.
Why couldn't they just say, what was his name? What was the kid's name?
Connor.
Connor. Why couldn't they just say Connor's safe?
I guess communication. It's just about to keep it secure.
I'll never know who they're talking about.
I guess so. All right. This is maybe
the president's kid.
Besides something that John McClane might say in Die Hard, this might be one of my favorite Die Hard ripoff lines that I've ever heard. And it's right here.
Why don't you and I play a game of f*** off? You go first.
And then he hangs up on him. That's great.
That was actually pretty good. And I put that in my...
Yippee-ki-yay, isn't it?
It really is. And I put that in my back pocket for the next telemarketer calls. And we're going to play that game. It's going to be fantastic.
It made me laugh out loud. It was good.
All
right. Poor Ruth. Here's Ruth.
Ruth. Mr. President. Sir.
She got the shit kicked out of her. I felt bad for her.
I was taking a nap. What do you want?
Yeah. What do you want? I was taking a nap.
Remember? Do you remember the very beginning of Film Sack? Going back to Extra Life Radio, we would talk about how easy mode for an actor was when they had to be angry, because anybody can just be angry and it comes across as acting.
Yeah.
I think gurgling because your body is damaged is right up there with angry acting.
It's pretty good. Well, if you want some angry acting, I have some. I'm going to give it to you now, and then we'll compare them. Okay, so you got the gargly acting, and now you have angry acting. Here you go.
General Clegg, I'm the commander-in-chief. If I didn't absolutely need you, I would relieve you right now.
I will not let this asshole
out of you unless I ask you a question.
Jeez. Ooh. Slow down. That's freaking, what's his name you're talking to there?
Yeah, it's slow down, brother. Robert Forrester?
Robert Forrester. Yeah.
Morgan Freeman talks like he's trying to keep a Tic Tac pressed firmly with his tongue to the top of his mouth.
I don't know how to describe it, but you're right.
Is he, that's funny. Does he wear dentures or something?
No.
That would explain it. Funny if he's trying to keep a...
Maybe. And by the way, I need an answer for this. I put something up on Twitter, said, he elevates the material. And I put a GIF I made of him sitting there. And somebody immediately wrote back and says, yeah, if you like somebody who dates his granddaughter, he's only like a half inch away from Woody. What's his name? Yeah. Not Woody. Yeah, Woody. Who's the guy that dated his daughter and married her? Sung Lee?
Woody Allen.
Jeez, I couldn't think of his damn name. He says he's just basically Woody Allen, except... barely removed or whatever. I'm like, really? Is that a thing?
I don't know this at all.
And remember, it's just a claim. There was this one guy who claimed that Morgan Freeman had this sexual relationship with his step-granddaughter. That it's been denied. There's no real good evidence.
Huh.
Okay. interesting. All right. I guess I hadn't heard about it.
Never heard of this.
Yeah, me either.
Before her death? Hold on. Hollywood gossip. I'm sure this will be all true.
Yeah, but, wow.
Sure.
Podcasting.
I'm just going to
Hollywood gossip.
I'm going to skip down here. Yeah, he denied it. I've never even heard of it. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you get blindsided on the internet. It's like, oh, yeah, you like him? Well, guess what? I'm like, okay, I'm just having a little fun here. Calm down. All right. Here's your next clip. This is Robert Forrester being Robert Forrester. Here you go.
We aren't holding shit.
We ain't holding shit.
anybody got a Robert Forrester from another movie that comes to mind?
I liked him in Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown was so good. By the way,
Jackie Brown's a great one. Yeah,
it's a great movie. Yeah, I love him in that.
Let's see. I'm trying to think.
For me, and I'm sure I'm the only person who cares at all about the movie The Descendants by Alexander Payne.
That's a great movie. Sure.
It's just one of those things, right? Mm-hmm. It's like any other Alexander Payne movie. If you love wine, there's a movie for you. If you love Hawaii, here's one.
Right.
Robert Forrester is one of the many descendants in that movie. And it's a bit role, but he's real good.
He's a national treasure. I love that guy. I saw something else with him last night that I just started, and he was suddenly in it, and I can't remember what it was now because my brain.
Well, you're not watching Twin Peaks, the newest, most recent season of Twin Peaks. He takes over from Harry Truman.
Oh no!
Didn't come back for the season.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll tell you,
President
another Jackie
Truman,
Brown
like straight
connection.
Up real Harry Truman, Truman.
Truman?
No. The sheriff was Harry Truman, the guy that Agent Cooper worked closest with.
Right.
And this is his brother.
Right. Okay. I found it. Breaking Bad. He played Ed. He was like toward the final season. He was the one that was doing the basically witness protection, except illegal. It was like trying to hide or give Walter White a new identity. And he put him.
And we got a reference to that in the film as well, because wasn't that what our friend was going to stay and watch.
Yeah,
while
go home and watch.
Went.
Stay home and watch Breaking Bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, this guy works. Holy shit! Have you seen his career?
Yeah.
This is a huge.
Oh yeah.
Well, he plays a cop who gets one line in so many movies.
He's just in a million.
He should be.
Old
things. I expect way more like general and.
Oh yeah.
You know, like there should be a lot more where he plays a general because it feels like he's.
He does it really well.
That role every time, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He was in Heroes. I forgot about that. The show Heroes. Remember Heroes? Yeah. He was Lucky Jim.
Reminds me
of
my late grandfather.
Oh, yeah? Looks like him, too?
Yeah. Looks like him. Looks just like him.
Wow. Sound like him? Because that's the best part.
Yeah, that's what you want.
A little bit.
A little bit like that.
He did a voice as the president in Justice League Unlimited. That was a cool series.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah. All right. That guy's awesome. I love him.
Oh, did
yeah.
I know we've mentioned a couple of goofs, but did we talk about how more than once in this movie, after the Washington Monument is destroyed, we see the whole Washington Monument?
Oh, no, I missed that.
Yeah,
oh,
we
really?
Didn't talk about it, but there's a couple of things that are like, I wouldn't really, it's continuity errors. Like like early on, Gerard Butler's character turns off, the TV gets turned off, and then he turns the TV off with the remote.
Yeah.
Like when he's sitting with the kid and there's like,
Ibbitt brought up the blood on the wall that suddenly the wall's clean.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And well, the blood on his face too, that,
oh, right.
When he was doing
Maybe he's got a big, like, he's got a big Jabba the Hutt tongue and he licked it. Maybe that's what happened.
It could be. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's all kinds of little stuff like that, but I, you know,
I did not even catch the Washington Monument thing. Holy cow. It's not like 6 months later,
skip to the helicopters all flying in to attack the White House, and you see the whole Washington Monument. It's like, wait a minute, oops. I was really moved by that thing coming down. That was really impactful.
Yeah. It didn't really come down; they just took the tip off.
Just the tip. When that thing fell,
just the tip off that phallic symbol.
They could just resharpen it, and it would be a little bit shorter, and they don't have to rebuild the top.
What is it? Big one of those big square things you have when you were a kid that you would twist on your pencil, and it would just come down.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I just as someone who has played Minecraft, you can easily rebuild that thing. Trust me.
Oh yeah, it's no problem. Just get up there. You can float up there if you're in creative mode. Yeah, it's not a problem.
Right.
It just reminded me, I've been watching this season of Handmaid's Tale. It's really good, but there's a scene on the National Mall there where it's from the Lincoln Memorial pointing outward, and they made it a big giant cross in that show. So it's when the Gilead people, Sons of Jacob or whatever, took over the city, they converted the Washington Monument to have a giant middle upper piece that makes it look like a huge cross, like a giant religious symbol. It's crazy, crazy looking. And then, and if you look back at the memorial, Lincoln's head is missing.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's blown off his shoulders. Like his whole shoulders are all crumbly and his head's gone. Yeah, that right. shows.
That is curious. I am curious to see how that statue will fall apart, because, you know, like the Roman statues, like we all think, oh, they used to make them with no arms. No, they just fell off. That was just.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. If so, you have hundreds of years between construction and like lots of earthquakes happen and all sorts of, you know, war.
Right.
And
so
on. Yeah. Or just natural, like moving it around or having it sit too long or whatever. That stuff eventually just takes its toll. But in the case of this thing, it was blown off in the war or in the fight or whatever happened there.
Right. I'm shooting Lincoln right in the face.
That's why I like that show. It's got great world building, but they don't give you every single detail, which I think is important in good world building. Like, you need to kind of leave a lot to your imagination or else you kind of screw it up. So that's why I love Mad Max. They never
Think they shot that Lincoln statue like from the back? Like,
no, they shot it from the front because there's no way to get back there.
Okay. Well, you know like
a wall behind it.
Yeah, there's a wall.
Right, that makes sense. But I just thought it'd be ironic.
And the wall's got the big. It's got like big blast marks and stuff. And they now see it. No,
because he got shot in the back of the head. Yeah. Because, you know, just saying.
World building. World building's fun.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. I think we're almost done with these. Oh yeah, I'm almost done with these. Here's one right here. This is a gnarly Pledge of Allegiance. This is the worst way to have to do it, okay? So here you go, Melissa Leo, take it away.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America!
Oh my gosh, dude.
Telling you, man, she nails it.
So that's a combination of angry acting and gurgly acting.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, you're right. So good. It was really good. She's a great actress in general, but... She's awesome.
Is terrific. However, does she not know how to zig and zag?
Like, serpentine?
You know,
serpentine?
Yeah, you know you're going to get shot in the back. You got to do something. You can't just walk straight out.
And the thing is, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that they're going to try to shoot her on the front patio. Right. Like, they don't need to at all. It is the worst idea for them to come out of that bunker and expose themselves in that moment. And right. Kang is too smart to do it. And I don't understand why, except, I mean, we got a cool little action bit out of it.
I mean, but the idea is to show that he's super sadistic and wants to have another terrible thing on national television. But I agree. Like, that would blow your whole plan that you worked so long for. You're just blowing it by sticking your head out and aiming a gun somewhere. It's just dumb.
And I didn't understand why, once again, bad guy on pause. It's like, if I send out the hostages... And everybody thinks that the president was on the helicopter and all the terrorists were on the helicopter and I blew it up, that now no one's going to go in the White House and they're going to give him they're not going to suddenly storm the White House to try to figure out what was going on.
Look for more survivors.
I mean, that was just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Do you notice when there are Asian terrorists, there's always a guy with a huge set of hair and a Fu Manchu mustache? Why do they always do that? It's not that actor. It's not that actor we always see necessarily. That guy's in lots of things. But
right, it's not...
And I actually thought it was him.
Leong or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I don't remember his name.
I saw him, but it wasn't him.
It wasn't him, but they have a guy like that. That seems to be like, you can't do this unless you have that guy with you. And I'm trying to understand
Al Leong, that's it.
Right.
Or Al Leong, yeah. Who's Ken Leon? Oh, Ken, Dr. Ken.
Well, Ken Jeong.
Or something? Is that kind of
the one that goes gay when he's sitting in his You guys know the thing from Community where he's in the back of the class and somebody does something up front and he goes, puts his hand to his mouth and goes gay.
I have only seen like a few episodes of Community. Shame on
you. Oh, it's one of the best sitcoms ever.
It really is.
Yeah, 100%. It would have been like top five of all time if not for Chevy Chase. Like if not
for season five or four.
Right.
Which
yeah.
One like right to Yahoo.
But seasons two and three were just incredible. Especially if you can get a supercut that just removes Chevy Chase.
How do you say Community? I'm gonna find this. Because he says it in the back of the class. It's like a meme. I can't believe
he's heard
this.
Yeah, we got to play something. It's offensive too, right? Let's play it.
I found it. Here it is. I found it. Here you go. They're just repeating it. Anyway, you have to see it to appreciate it. It's very funny.
What is that? Yeah.
It's funny.
I have never been able to refer to that actor by his actual name. I always call him
Dr. Ken.
No. What's his name in the Chang?
Professor Farnsworth? Professor?
No, but he's teaching Spanish. Senor Chang. Thank you.
Senor Chang. Right.
Is the name. Like, that's the guy. He's like, no one has ever come up with a better comedic name for a person doing a job than Senor Chang.
And the idea that he's a community college Spanish teacher who's Asian and barely is so, oh my gosh, it's so good. That show's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to go watch Community. Bye. See you later. All right, here's a final deal here. This is Brian. I got some audio from your mom, Ibbett. She sent this on. She says,
better be all you got from her.
She says, look, I know you can use this. I don't need it. Apparently, this is a clip of what you said when your date was leaving your car on prom night. So she was getting out of the car. Okay. And she was kind of slow and a little hesitant. And you apparently said this. So here's the audio.
Go. Walk. Move!
Jeez, you were hardcore.
Well, date's over. That's it. Right. We're done.
Can you guys... All right, final clip. Can you guys tell me what this is? So I'm going to play it. I heard it, and I captured it. I still don't know who made it or what it is. Here it is. I'm going to play it again. I'm going to play it one more time. Any ideas?
No.
It sounds like a gaffe, because that doesn't sound like...
It sounds like speeded up audio is what it sounds like.
It absolutely does. Yeah.
Oh, well, let me try it again. It does to me as well. I can't tell. I don't know.
Gun or something like that.
I don't know. It happened toward the end. And
was it the Asian lady henchman?
No. No. She was dead by then.
Yeah.
I don't... Hold on. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
I need you to never play that again. You're freaking me out.
I know. In 7 days, one of us is going to die now that we've all heard that tape.
It's really weird.
Like 10 times.
All right. That brings us to the end of the clips, and that brings us to this. Kang is both bad guy and what? Sorry. He is both fast and furious. Is what I meant to say. Here's one for you. He wished he could say that was the last time he saw John McClane. I just had to put that one in there. Kids always hide in the walls. Check. That was the film psych checklist, by the way. All right, moving on. Star Trek Connection. Couldn't find any, and Daryl never sent me anything, so I don't know who's from Star Trek.
So Ashley Judd.
Oh,
is
right.
Probably our best one.
Of course. Duh. Rods and Cones, or Rods Hopes and Cones, whatever it is.
It was a... Yeah, what was that? It was the cones and the...
I think it was Rods and Cones. Was that
cones
not
and
it?
Balls?
Cones and balls. Whatever it was.
It definitely was cones.
A ball goes into a cone.
Right. And everybody would get high when they did it, except her and Wesley broke the spell or whatever.
It's got to be balls and cones, right?
Yeah. There's your connection. I can't think of anybody else, though. Who else? Morgan Freeman never did Trek.
Just imagine the Antoine Fuqua directed episode of TNG. It's a fun little fantasy to have.
I'd watch that. I'd be into it. I wonder if that like is that is that Tarantino thing still happening? Is he still going to make a Star Trek movie or no? Wasn't there some?
I've heard nothing.
All right. I want that to happen. I just need to know what it is.
The more prominent rumor is that his next movie is his last movie.
He always says that, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like Hateful Eight was going to be last, and then he's like, "Oh, I'm doing this thing about the Tate."
Shut him out.
The what's her name? Murders. What's her name? Who died from? Who got murdered by Manson's people? What was her name?
Sharon Tate.
That's at this new one coming out, right? In a week or two or whatever it is. Anyway.
I thought the new one was the Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio stuntman. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the whole thing.
Okay.
That whole thing is surrounded by. You got to watch the trailer because you get to see Charlie Manson in it. It's pretty cool.
Oh, I've seen the trailer before the last two movies I've seen in the theater, and I did not even pick up anything about Manson or Sharon Tate or any of that stuff.
Yeah, because Sharon Tate is played by what's her hottie?
Maggie or Margot Robbie?
Yeah.
Is Sharon Tate?
That's Sharon
Holy
Tate.
Cow.
Yeah. So who knows what Tarantino's actually doing with it? Like, because he's weird, right? Like, this isn't just a murder story, so who knows what he's doing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe the Brad Pitt, DiCaprio thing is his own writing. Maybe those guys existed. I don't know. Anxious to see what that is, though. Soundtrack great. I'd give it an R for right what they needed. Right for what they needed. It was fine. It's just the kind of thing you want. Nice and patriotic and intense and, you know, not really remarkable in any way, but perfectly suited for the material. Good job, soundtrack, and well done. Let's move on to the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's begin these festivities with Randy Jordan.
Olympus has fallen. When a bunch of guys sneak in at night and ruin everything, and a lady with her blouse torn off is staggering right out the front door, you're going to save the day with your physical prowess. Just like a Saturday night at Epitaph.
Yeah! Keep walking. Move! All right. Brian Dunaway, your turn.
Olympus has fallen. Like Owen Wilson said in Armageddon. Scariest environment imaginable. Thanks. That's all you got to say. Scariest environment imaginable. Wow.
Wow. Love that guy. We haven't seen him enough. Let's get more movies with him in it. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Olympus has fallen. I'm not going to tell you my Twitter post. No, I'd rather die than tell you my Twitter post. I swear to you, I'm not going to tell you my Twitter post. Okay. It's Alpha 3 Tango 7 Niner Foxtrot.
Niner service code. Hashtag.
Hashtag. Shift 3 service codes.
To their credit, at least the president told them not to do it in both cases. So I
got, and that made me so mad because I was like, no, I'm not doing it. No, you've already given one away, you freak.
Yeah, but they have to follow his orders. Yeah, they do.
I think if you think that the country is in danger, I think that you can actually tell the president to go shove it. I think that is the rule.
No, if that's
now you may be held in contempt or, you know, treason or whatever, but I think as a moral standpoint, you just go suck it, president.
I mean, I would have not given him the codes because if you knew what Cerberus was and how literally devastating that was going to be forever and always, like, of course I wouldn't give it away.
Also, the thing where go ahead and give him the code because the president won't is backwards. It's totally backwards. No, I am the underling. I die to save the universe. And the president, I'm also saving the president, right? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me that you would be like, oh, okay, the president will hold out. He'll be good. We're fine.
Yeah, everyone's good. Everyone be nice. Do we have a chick in the bucket this week or no? Couldn't think of anybody.
Connor?
So
he went. I don't know.
He was at the end.
Rescued
is a conclusion for a character.
Yeah, and he was at the end too. Right. He was in that room standing next to Jimmy John there when the speech happened.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
By the way, the death count in this film is at 168. I don't know who does that or why, but 168 dead bodies were seen. And that's a lot. That's a really high number for a movie.
Yeah.
And it just, like, I appreciated, it was horrific, but I appreciated that when they finally come out of the White House, there are just bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that really worked. It was terrible.
Right?
Sing that again, Dunaway.
I'm not going to do it. No. Okay. You got one.
I got all I'm going to get? Okay.
You have to isolate it and replay it.
I enjoyed it. It was very good. I'm just trying to think of anybody else. I don't think anyone classifies. I think they did a good job of sewing everybody up. I mean, there were a lot of unknowns and stuff. Maybe the Joint Chiefs guy that had the knife to his neck that gave away the first code. Maybe there's no resolution there because I think he's just one of the hooded guys that got blown up in the plane or in the helicopter. So it's kind of an unceremonious missing guy, but not really chick in the bucket status. So good job, movie. You avoided it. Well done. Oh, look at this. Just been handed alternate titles. This was almost called Many Black Hawks Down. Or All the President's Men Are Mostly Dead. All right, moving on to emails. Email from Nathan, who wrote in, says, hey, Sackers, Nathan here, and I just needed to chime in on the, quote, what the discussion from the Ghost Ship episode. We were talking about how nobody ever says what the in real life.
Right.
I remember y'all having a similar discussion on an earlier episode, so I had to email this time and say my piece. Yes, I'm standing up and admitting I have said what the. I can think of multiple occasions where I have said it in real life as a somewhat educated human being. In every instance, It is with the intention of saying, what the F, or what the hell. But the shock of the situation usually cuts me short because that last word never gets out. Every now and again, a F sound or a breathy H sound will come out, but it's never fully realized. And every time I realize I didn't finish the phrase, I think of how dumb I must look. By the time this realization hits me, it just feels weird dropping a random F-bomb after such a pregnant pause. Like I forgot the word and spent the whole time trying to think of it. Anyway, just wanted to let you know that I exist. I may be the only one, and I think the world is probably better for it. Happy sacking, Nathan. Well, Nathan, maybe you are the only one. I don't know. I've never met anyone who's ever said it to me in real life, except for a movie. So there you go. That's all I can go by. That's all I can go by. Yeah, have any of you just like recently gone, a spider's in the house. What the? And then stop your sentence? No. No one does.
No, I just sat and endured an earthquake for 30 seconds last night, and that would have not happened. It's not like it. No, I may have said the F word a few times, like a dozen times, but I can't imagine stopping short of it. It's the whole point.
A few dozen times. Did you see the pool? Did your swimming pool at the thing there do any sloshing? Like I see a lot of videos of swimming pools and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were sitting next to a hot tub, so that wasn't much to see because it was running.
Wait, you know, so I need the complete story of why you were sitting next to a hot tub and not in the hot tub. Mm.
So we had been in the hot tub with our neighbor, and we were drinking these horrible malt liquor drinks that like flavored in a tall skinny can. Mm. It was horrible. Mm. I can't remember what they're called. It's like Smirnoff or I don't know what they are. But we were having some drinks, and we were in the hot tub, and you get too hot, right? So you have to get out and cool off a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I got out, and I was sitting in a chair right next to the hot tub, and one of the anchors for the seat was broken, so the chair was kind of like it felt like it was depressing a little bit when I sat on it.
Yeah.
So I was in the perfect thing to ride an earthquake because the chair gave me this like extra motion up and down.
Yeah.
Anyway, huge swimming pool next to us. There hadn't been anybody in it for a while, so it was relatively still. And the earthquake made it move, made the water move. It didn't splash out. We're like 100 miles from the earthquake. But it definitely, like, we all looked at the pool. Like, we're all looking, staring at the pool to see what it's doing.
I have a great aunt who thinks that y'all are just sinners, and that's why you get earthquakes out there.
Oh, of course, yes,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, even though she lives on one of the biggest faults in the States, and it just hasn't popped yet.
Well, I gotta agree. I mean, seems right.
That seems right. California's full of sinners, so why not? Go ahead and have that. It seems pretty convenient, though. She does that anytime there's any kind of disaster anywhere. Yeah. So even if a wonderful village of people gets a tsunami somewhere, they must not have been living right.
Must be sinners.
Yeah. She drives me absolutely up a wall. Mm-hmm. Hi, Aunt Connie. Love you. All right.
If she's listening to this, she's sinning.
Yeah, she's sinning. That's right. She probably, there's no way she's listening to this. Hey, don't forget you can send your own emails into the show and have them read just like that one from Nathan. You can send them to filmsack@gmail.com, or if it's convenient for you, send us a voicemail. 801-471-0462 is the phone number. 801-471-0462. We look forward to hearing from you. Our next film will be, I don't know.
We're going to Amazon Prime for our next film. Mm. And we are going to celebrate the 35th anniversary of the beginning of World War III. We're watching Red Dawn.
Oh, my gosh.
What the?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. Hey, Brian, you did your first what the? That's
what?
Awesome.
What the?
Hold on. This is a C. Thomas Howell, Patrick Swayze, Leah Thompson joint. That's the one. Not this new one. Not
so
the
I thought our
one.
Rule was not to have back-to-back foreign invasion movies.
Nope. We're doing it.
We're doing it.
Is that a rule? Do we have that?
I thought we had back-to-back rules. This is this.
Well, this be included? Because normally it's like back-to-back. What was the last one that Randy wouldn't let us do? Oh, back-to-back horror movies or ghost stories or something.
Outside of October, I don't think we should do like terrifying films back to back.
Right.
We should take a break. But Red Dawn, it's the 35th anniversary, guys. 35 years.
Yeah, it's time.
Oh, I'm not arguing that's not a fantastic movie.
I think it's time. And also, we didn't mean to do this, but Olympus Has Fallen was perfect for this is the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah. 5th of July is when I watched this thing when the movie took place.
Yeah. So we actually got to, you know, I mean, that feels like a good plan. I don't think we really planned it, but it happened. No. So now we'll do it again with Red Dawn, and not the Hemsworth new one. We're talking about the old ass 1984 classic, in my opinion.
Right.
Right.
It's the dawn of World War III in the Midwestern America. A group of teenagers band together to defend their town and their country from invading Soviet forces from Cuba is where they come from.
Cuba. And if you don't have Amazon Prime, if you have a Star subscription, you may be able to watch it there as well as you can just come over to my house. I got a DVD.
Yeah. You got Jennifer Grey, Charlie Sheen.
Jennifer Grey pre-nose job.
This was putting pre-baby in the corner, right? This was their first appearance together.
I think so.
Oh, was this really before baby got in the corner?
Oh, way before. Yeah. Like a half a decade.
Way before, like 84.
Well, I thought Dirty Dancing was like 89 like or something. 86
or 87?
Maybe.
Pretty close.
Harry Dean Stanton's in this. Ron O'Neill.
This is when she thought she was still going to grow into her nose. Oh, just kidding. I love Jennifer Grey.
Powers Booth is in this. Oh, dude. Yeah. All right. I'm in.
Thomas Howell.
I'm all in.
Mm-hmm. Charlie Sheen.
Cool. Save it for next week.
Okay. Save it for next week. That's and there is a show next week. Just a slight PSA. The week after that, I'm out of town and there's no show. But we are here next week, and then the week after I get back, we'll be here. But I guess I'm just letting people know early that the weekend of the 19th, I am not here. Other parts of that week.
Why have we never watched an Iron Eagle film? How come?
Because we're dumb. We're the worst.
Didn't we see Top Gun? I see what you did.
Yeah, because we didn't want to watch them two in a row. That's why we didn't watch Iron Eagle.
No, back-to-back Iron Eagle.
I mean, Iron Eagle 1, that's the Lou Gossett Jr. thing, right? Did I have that right? Okay. Right. I've never seen a single one of those.
I think he shows up all the Iron Eagles, right? And he like the thread?
All the Queen music, too.
Yeah, he's like, what's his name in the American Pie sequels? Eugene Levy will just keep coming.
Yeah.
So hold on, though. I've never seen an Iron Eagle movie. I was just checking out.
You gotta watch an Iron Eagle film, man.
Okay.
You've never felt like you've watched such a knockoff of something until you've watched an Iron Eagle film. It's like, oh, this is perfect.
We should do one then. Iron Eagle 1. Oh, but someone on Twitter said we should be watching Book of Eli. And so here's my statement on that. I love Book of Eli and was going to rewatch it when I saw it pop on Netflix. I will hold off on doing that if we put it on our list. Otherwise, I'm just gonna watch it. Because I like that movie. But I need to know if we're going to do it. Because if we do it, I need to capture clips and stuff while I'm doing it.
Do it.
Otherwise, I'm just going to watch it because I like it. Because it's post-apocalyptic and badass and awesome.
Just watch it. Just watch it.
Should I just watch it? We're not going to do that one? Yeah. You don't think Book of Eli is a...
I like Book of Eli, but I don't know if it'll be a fun, sackable movie. It's a great movie, but I think it's a great movie.
It's a little dour.
Yeah, a little dour. There you go. A little slow, but good.
I mean, I feel like I'm going to watch it anyway, so we could watch it for film sec, but...
I don't know. We'll talk about it offline. We'll make a vote. Yeah. We'll see.
Next week!
Because if not...
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn next week, yeah. So come back for Red Dawn. Get your Cuba on for Red Dawn. That's coming next week. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for watching and being here. Filmsack.com is where you go to get all our stuff. If you're looking for our email address, it's easy, filmsack@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @FilmSack. And if you would, leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
#Shift3.
Oh, that hashtag. Oh, Gerard Butler, you're so stupid. We'll see you next week.
Even in my Twitter post.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You aren't holding shit.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.